Okay, let's begin. This week is Parashas Vayeshev. Vayeshev is a lot of tragedy in Parashas Vayeshev. In fact, we have here the tragedy that we suffer from Ad Hayom Hazeh, the machloikis between the brothers and Yosef, which resulted in Mechiras Yosef. Before we get to that, let's just discuss something positive. Although there is so much tsar and tragedy, there is something in the first Rashi of the Parsha which is the silver lining. Is a silver lining into Parshas Vayeshev, and not just into the Parsha, but into the time of the year. Rashi here begins, takes note of the fact that at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, there was a discussion about Esav, all of his children and his descendants, and the kings, and there's a synopsis of what became of Esav. And now, as we begin Parshas Vayeshev, we begin a very, very long elaboration upon Yaakov Avinu and his descendants. So let me read the words of Rashi, a little slowly. Achar shekosav l'cho yishuvei Esav v'toldosav b'derech kitzara. After we have written, and the Torah has described in detail all of the descendants of Esav and what happened to them, where they settled, shaloi hoyu sifunim v'chashuvim l'foresh he'achnis yashvu b'seder milchamoy sehem eichoy rishu es hachoyri. And in fact, we were makatzer. When we discussed Esav, we did not go into detail how they waged war with Achori, how exactly they came to take possession of the land of Seir. We don't even know. Much of the history has been lost. Much of the history has been lost from us, the details of what exactly happened to Bnei Esav. It's only taught to us in the few psukim in the parashas Vayishlach. But now we're going to discuss Yaakov, the descendants of Yaakov, Perishcha Yeshua Yaakov, Yitol Vaisav, B'derech Arucha. We're going to elaborate. Kol Gilgulei Sibosam, all of the events, Lefi Shehem Chashuvim Lefnei HaMakam, because they are Chashuv, they are distinguished. Lefnei HaMakam L'Harech Bohem, to elaborate upon them. Okay, then he goes on to some Mishalim. He talks about Avraham and Noach. I'm going to skip that. I want to go down to where he says over here what this is all for. This is nothing more than a mashal. A mashal, l'margolio shenafla. Mr. Rapport, can you just close the door? Close the door.
This one?
Here, all the way here. Mashal, it's a mashal, l'margolio shenafla bein hachol. It's a mashal to a pearl that fell bein hachol, Adam. Until you find the pearl, who mashmeches atzveros miyadoi v'noytel hamargolios. So he's saying over here is that this whole series of events from the beginning of the Torah all the way through the end of Parshas Vayishlach until Parshas Vayeshev can be compared to a person who has lost a pearl in the sand. Not necessarily lost, a person who is searching for a pearl in the sand. Right. So he says, "Mamoshel Maros Shenofla." Shenofla means it fell. Okay, Shenofla Ben Achol. There is a pearl fell in the sand, and you're sifting. You pick up some sand and you look at it like a microscope. Look at the sand, all the pieces of sand. Maybe in the sand I'll find the pearl, and then you go through more sand until I've now found the pearl. When you find the pearl, what do? You take the pearl, you put it aside. And you take all the sand and you throw it in the garbage. That is what's happening here in Parashas, the entire Torah until Parashas Vayeshev. The whole Torah until Parashas Vayeshev is we're picking up sand and we're analyzing it. We're looking for what's choshev. In the process of looking for the pearl, we also look very carefully at the sand. But when we finally find the sand, the pearl, we take the sand and we throw the sand in the garbage. We're mashlich miyadoi, it's insignificant.
So what is the pearl here?
The pearl is Yaakov Avinu.
And what is the sand?
The sand is everything else.
Yavos, the rest of them are
not, you can't say that. No, has the shalom. Not Abraham and Yitzchak. Not. Not. Not not Avraham and Yitzchak, but being that Avraham did produce a Yishmael, so we're not yet finished. We're not yet ready. We can't dwell upon, we can't throw the sand in the garbage just with Avraham, because there's more refinement that must be done. We can't go and just throw away the sand when we come to Yitzchak, because there's an Esav. There's more refinement. What? Now that we find Yaakov, now we have the Shoshalas. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, going back to Noach, Adam, we now have the perfect pit. But until now, from Yaakov and on, that's it. Yaakov and on, there's no more Psoilus. Once we come to Yaakov Avinu, the pearl is complete. The pearl. Adam, Noach, maybe a few others down there in the middle. Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Nikanul Habo, we deal with the shift, they call. We have what we need. Everything else now is Psoilus. But until that, when does that critical moment occur? That moment does not occur until Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurei Aviv. The Shifteikar are all born. The Shifteikar, the 12 Shvatim, all born. Yaakov Avinu returns to Eretz Yisrael. We now have found what we're looking for, and everything else until now becomes irrelevant. That's really what he says. And you can't chas v'shalom say it's irrelevant, because as you said correctly, what about Avraham and Yitzchak? And what about Adam? What about Noach? What about all the... There's what to learn. But now is the focus. Now we have the picture and we can now plow forward with a mission and with a very pure focus. Now what does that mean exactly? That means that until this point in time, we've given everything equal weight. We pick up the sand. Every kernel of sin is important. Because that kernel of sin may be the pearl. It may be the pearl, that kernel of sin. Everything is worthy of our study, our investigation, our consideration. Now that we got what we want, and we have, now we can dismiss what's not relevant to the same degree. In other words, this world has a lot to offer. Okay, there, in this world there is chokhma bo amim tamim. There is beauty. Yaft Elokim li Yefes v'yishkon be'ohol Hashem. The beauty of Yefes should reside in the Beis Medrash. There's a whole world out there. And everything in this world is choshev. If it's Hashem's creation, it is incredibly important. But yet, Hashem has also given us priorities. What is more important than other things? Until we come to Parshas Vayeshev, there are no priorities. Priorities. Everything is worthy of equal study, equal time. We have Avraham, we have a Yishmael, and we have a Yitzchak. Maybe there are redeeming qualities in Yishmael. It's not obvious right away that this will not be our priority. Nothing is insignificant, chas v'shalom. It's just a matter of priority. And until we come to Parshas Vayeshev, it's not clear what is the priority and what is not the priority. Everything is Torah. Everything is chashav. Everything is what to learn from. Everyone contributes. Esav also contributes to this world. Can't deny the fact. Chazal say this. Yishmael also contributes to this world in their unique way. Everything is chashav. It has a purpose. But what's the igor and what's the tafel? Parshas Vayeshev is a happy parsha. Even though the whole Vayeshev is mole tragedy, terrible tragedy, the whole beginning to end, there's a silver lining. Because the fact that we delve into the details of every little event that is happening in Parshas Vayeshev, Rashi is telling us, it has now come the moment of truth, where it is revealed, we know what the pearl is, and we therefore, all of the chol, the sand that we were so careful to analyze and to study, we don't forget about it, but we dismiss it. It's not the priority. This is the silver lining, the lesson, the simcha of Parshas Vayeshev. That there are things that are important, and there are things that are not as important. And it's not a coincidence that this Parshas Vayeshev always coincides with the beginning of Chanukah. It's Erev Chanukah, it's the Tkuf of Chanukah, when we enter into the Tkuf of Chanukah, because what is Chanukah all about? The Yevonim gave this world something that is awesome. Pasuk in the Torah, Yaft Elokim Liyefes V'Yishkon Baholei Shein. The Yishmaelim, they're lacking in this. Yeah. There's no Yoifi, at least in my perspective. They're nomads.
Yeah.
They're nomads. They're living in refugee camps for the last 70 years.
You're hard pressed to name any contribution to civilization.
They're nomads. I mean, get a life. What are you sitting in refugee camps for 70 years? Go get a parnas and go make for yourself. Do something for yourself. Listen, I don't know about you, but the masks, the pictures of the masks, don't appeal to me. Don't seem to have any yoifi. The way they dress doesn't seem to have any beauty. My impression, it doesn't seem they're going to come after me, right? They're going to really come after me. I'm a target now, right? I'm a target. Take it offline. I'm a target. There's something lacking. Klal Yisrael could have been the same thing. Klal Yisrael, we could have been exactly the same thing. Could be no difference. What's our purpose in this world? What's our purpose? To serve Hashem. So you have to have chandeliers. You have to have a nice bookcases. You have to have nice clothing. What do you need this for? That's not your purpose. Your purpose is to learn Daf Gemara. So learn Daf Gemara, you have to have a nice cover. You have to have a nice fancy cover with all the... Who needs this? It's not the purpose of what it says over here. What do you need this all for? What's going on? We should go live in caves. Go back, go live in Afghanistan, go live in caves, and we'll serve Hashem, like the Taliban. What do we need this for? The answer is Hashem says, no, I don't want it like that. Hashem says, I don't want you to be like Yishmael. I don't want you to avoid this Hashem to be like Yishmael. Yishmael, they're there, Oiv the Hashem. They serve Hashem. Their religion is a little violent, hostile, okay? They are chashal. I was not. Don't say that. It's not true. Don't say so that. Chashal is not violent. Yadus chashal. The rochelho darchei noyam. Torah is noyam. Is pleasant. Anyone that is acting in violence is not part of the religion. I'm sorry. The religion of Yadus is a pleasant religion. The rochelho darchei noyam. The chol nisivoyseho sholon. Anyone who acts with violence and machloikis is not part of Yadus. Simple as that. A pasuk in the Torah. Okay, I don't know the theology of Islam. I don't know what doesn't seem too good to me when they're blowing up the world and all of the tsaris, the blood that they brought upon us. So I'm not going to comment, but whatever, that's not the point. The point over here is there's something lacking about the Yishmaelim in Yoifi. They live in caves. I mean, I don't have to. These are facts. They're nomads for a thousand. Maybe today they're more modern. Today they're more. They got with the program a little bit more. Why is it in Yados are we any different? Because there's no need for all of the glitter, all of the smoke and mirrors that we have in Yados. The answer is there is a need. Hashem wants it. It says in the pasuk, Yaft Elokim Liyafis, the one who excels in beauty. In beauty of the body, in beauty of the sciences and music and culture, is Yefes. They have no religion whatsoever. They are out of the picture. They're not part of shame. They're not part of the chain of spirituality. They don't got it. But they have the goods. They have a Yoifi. I want the Yoifi of Yefes should be part of Klal Yisrael. The Yishkon Be'ohole Shem. The fact that we have such a beautiful cover here on this Arshul Chumash, this has been taken from Yefes. Yefes. This is all from the Greeks. They have given this to Klal Yisrael. The fact that we do everything that we do, the Kohen, the Melech, was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha in the shape of a Ki Yevonis. What is a Ki Yevonis? There are 10 Perushim, what the shape is, whatever it is. But it's Yavan. The way you anoint a king, the way you anoint a Kohen Gadol is with oil, and the oil is applied in the way the Greeks do it, with the imprint of the Greek of something about the Yavanim. a shegetz, a chashverosh, a prostagoy. There's something that Yefes has that the Torah wants to be part of Klal Yisrael. It wants that yoifi. But Rabbeisai, it's not the priority. It's not, it has to be there to enhance. The danger is that this becomes an equal, or it becomes the ikar, and the religious element of Yadus becomes the tofel. This is what Parshas Vayeshev is all about. Now that I found the pearl, you take the choil and you throw it away. Not that you throw it away and you obliterate it, you destroy it. It's not the priority. It's not the priority. It's a tofel.
Secondary.
There's an ikur and there's a tofel. Until you come to Parshas Vayeshev, everything is the same. It's freedom. Everyone, all men are created equal. Everything is the same. Everyone has their purpose in this world, their goal, their role, their mission. And we study this one, we study that one, we study Esav, we study Yishmael, we study Adam, and we study all the descendants and Noach and his generation. Everyone is being studied and scrutinized, and we're coming to extract the good and the bad. There's what to learn, and everyone has their place in this world. You come to Parshas Vayeshev, we never hear about any of these things anymore. We don't hear how they develop further in this world. We don't know what becomes of all of the descendants of Yefes and of Canaan, and what becomes of the descendants of Esav. We're finished with that. We don't hear how they proceed to develop the world. We don't know what happens. Why not? Because Parshas Vayeshev is a revelation that we have now discovered the Ikar. The Ikar is Yaakov Avinu and his connection to Hashem, Avodas Hashem, and everything else, which are very good. All of the beautiful things that we've learned about the other nations, we put them aside. They're there. But it's not the priority. This is Chanukah. Chanukah, Klal Yisrael was intermingled. They were completely absorbed in the Syrian Greek culture, thoroughly integrated. And what is Chanukah? Chanukah was the separation, the recognition. There's an ikar and there's a tofel. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Avodas Hashem, is the ikar. The Yafta, Lakim Liyafes, the beauty of the Yavonim, and what they brought to the world, okay, we're not going to dismiss it. But the miracle of Chanukah is a revelation. Return to Parshas Vayeshev. Take the pearl and throw away the sand. Don't destroy it, but it's a tofel. Yeah.
The Ikar of Parshas Balak has to do with Goyim, with Moyog and Moiri?
No, only relative to us. They try to curse. It's not their history. They try to curse us. It's not their history. It's not their history. We don't discuss. We don't care about them. There's nothing. Parashas Balak has nothing with Moav and Moav Edom. Has the Klal Yisrael? They did Averos, and therefore they suffered under the. We're not discussing their history. We're coming to analyze what happened until Parashas Vayeshev. We take these nations and we study them. We study them from beginning to end, what happened to them, who they were, their names, their kings, their this and their that, where they settled, their wars. We analyze them as if they are important people. And then we come to Parshas Vayeshev, and we never hear. We continue to discover how the world developed, how the world goes on, only from the perspective of the Jewish people. We don't go and look at the world any longer from the perspective of Edom, from the perspective of the Yishmaelim, from Yefes. These people, they develop, they're still here today. We don't care about them. They're not important.
Balak could have started by the end over there. By Yochalon, Liznois has been Ismayov over there.
Balak is just brought in because he comes, we don't talk, we don't. It's only related to us. He tried to curse us, so we mentioned that he went here, went there. These are just facts, but we're not looking at the world from their perspective. Until Parshas Vayeshev, we're looking at the world through the eyeglasses of each one of these nations. Okay, so this.
I just want to add to what you're saying, especially what you said before. You see, by Purim, Esther said, "Lech knows as Kol Yehudim." Now all the Matthew never attempted that. He never went out to bed and said, "Come, let's fight." There was nobody there. It was so extreme.
The degree of integration, the degree that the Jews were so far gone, was so great, there was no one to talk to. There was no audience.
Right.
No one to listen to.
They were all, this happened. You see, the Jewish army was a grand total of 12 people.
So what I
don't understand is, how was there still able to be a Beis HaMikdash?
It wasn't functional.
No, it was dead. No, Beis HaMikdash was
not dead. Under the control of the religious Jews. It was fully under the control of who knows, crazy people. They had to destroy the Mizbeach. They had to demolish it. It was a cool of the Zara. It took them 80 years to clean all the idols. There were idols all over the place, it says in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was not functional for 50 years. The Beis HaMikdash was under the control of idolaters. People doing everything connected to Kolat HaRa Kula. That's what it says. And when the miracle of the Mitzachon was, people woke up, you know, let's go back to the olden days, the way it's supposed to be. It took 8 days to clean up the demolition crew and to rebuild that exactly what happened. We and you know, the biggest story is, and who were the biggest enemies? Ourselves.
Yeah.
It was really like a civil war, pretty much. It wasn't really a war against the Syrian Greeks. It was the Jews who were the Syrian Greeks fighting against the traditionalists, people that maintained the Messiah, which were mamish nothing. Giborim biyad chaloshim, Rishon biyad tzadikim. Who were the Rishon? The Goyim or the Jews?
It
was the Jews who were the Rishon. Okay, that's what's so scary about Hanukkah. We don't want to talk about this. We don't like to, but that's really what it was. It was really a civil war. A civil war of our religious Jews against our irreligious Jews. Not just irreligious Jews, but irreligious Jews that were so far gone that that unfortunately caused all this trouble. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Yaakov Avinu, now we begin some of the tragedies. Yaakov Avinu over here, we learn about the brothers. The brothers, Yosef, it's very hard to understand. There was a very, very bad relationship between Yosef and the brothers. Rashi tells him Yosef accused the brothers of three averos. He told their father, my brothers eat Aver min hachai. Number two, my brothers, they are mezalzel in the children of the maidservants, the four children of Rachel, of Bilhah and Zilpah, and they call them slaves. Okay, they call them slaves. And number three is that they're nichshal in arayos. They're having dealings with women in an improper way. Rashi says this. Let me read you the words of Rashi. Es bnei bila, es dibosam Yaakov, Yosef brought to their father es dibosam ra'ah, an evil report. He handed him a file. What did it say in the file? Kol ra'ah, shahoya roya be'echav. Can you imagine what's going on over here? Any bad thing he can see that his brothers did was handed on a silver platter to his father in the briefing. The daily security briefing about the world included that your children are doing averos. Number one, that specifically about the six children of Leah. B'yachah b'nei Leah ha'yamagi l'anef. What did he do? She'oichlem eivim v'nachai. They eat, they take a bite out of a living animal. Number two, u'mezalzalin b'bnei ha'shifachais. They are mezalzel. They belittle, they humiliate the B'nai Shefachas, the four children from Bilhah and Zilpah, by Likroisam. Here's the key word I want to mention to you now. To call them Avodim. They call you slave boy, come here. They call their brother, slave boy, come here and tie my shoelaces. Slave boy, go and carry, do the laundry for me. Okay, he calls him. Everybody say, okay, what else? V'chashudim al harayos. They tell him, you know, father, you know, your son today just lived with a married woman. He just was in the Zana with an Ashes ish. Okay? So your children, they're eating the McDonald's and the Mazana with an Ashes ish. And your children, they say to the Bereshah, they call them slaves. The rabbi said, from the three things, which one is the worst? Which is the worst? Well, to say, I would say Arayos, because Arayos, that's pretty serious. That's Misa, that, you know, you have Misa for that, for Arayos. What? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will.
No,
does it go?
We don't
never harm me.
Will not harm me.
Never harm.
No, we don't hold like that.
Oh, you say very good. Hold on. Very upset about this.
Sure.
But Pashto says there are three different accusations. Arayos? What do you get if a person does Arayos?
According to the Medrash Rabbah, he was choshed that they were looking at the Goyim.
Not Mamash. Arayos, okay. Yeah, but one thing leads to the next.
They had eyes.
They don't have a filter on their internet.
Yeah.
Your children don't have, they have unfiltered internet. That's what you say, Goyim. Okay, you want to lighten, but it's not what it says in Rashi. Rashi is Arayos. Arayos is Dvarm. Arayos has potential. They went to a dance. They went to the movies.
That's
what he's saying.
That's what the Medrash says.
But one of it says in the word Rashi uses the word Arayos. It's a slippery slope. One thing leads to the next. Ultimately, Arayos can lead to a chiyuv misas bezdin for being nichshol in eishesish. Eating aver min hachai at most is a loisase. Okay, it's not as severe. Saying something nasty, call a person a nasty word, okay, you want to be a racist. Being a racist, you're not going to get shlishi in some shuls. Maybe other shuls you will. but you're not going to get malchus from Besdin, and they're not going to kill you. You're not going to get karis. You want to be nasty and be a racist and say nasty things. They'll talk about you on the blogs. You'll have your day in the sun. It's not going to be good. But from the three things, you can't tell me that according to the laws of the Torah, you have done the worst avera possible. Mr. Rapport, you're not very happy with this, right? Okay, now, here's my question. Here's my question. Rashi is not finished yet. Hear me out. What does Rashi say? Yosef was punished nida kineged nida. What was the punishment of Mida Keneged Mida? Because he said about his brothers that they were nichshol in Eiver Min Hachai. When they sold him as a slave, they needed to make him a Baba Mai. So what happened to their brother? So they had to go take the Kasoinis Pasim and show it to their father. It's drenched in blood. So where do you get blood? So you take an animal and you kill it. You kill a living animal, you kill it, and you take the blood, you dip the Kasoinis Pasim in the blood. But look, all of this wasted meat. There's all this good meat over here. What should we do with this meat? Can we eat it? Eivim and Achai. No, it did not have shchita. It did not have shchita. Let's see the words of Rashi. V'shlosh and loka al eiver min hachai vayishchatu. Right. So they did a exactly. They did a shchita. They didn't kill it. They didn't go and just kill the animal. Vayishchatu. They did a kosher shchita. They checked the knife. V'sach tachulin. Perfect. V'sach tachulin. Right. Vayishchatu sirizim. Okay, so they didn't.
That's not even a chai anymore.
Exactly, there's not even a chai. So, but he was subject. So Hashem is showing. So it's mida connected mida. Here you go. B'mechirasoi v'loy ochluhu chai kidei sheyilke b'shchita. They did not eat it raw. Rashi adzin. They did not eat it raw kidei sheyilke b'shchita. So that Yosef should be punished through a shchita. In other words, it's mida. There is a degree here of mida keneged mida. You accuse your brothers that they ate Eiver Min Achai. I'm going to show you they don't eat Eiver Min Achai, and it's going to come to you at a very painful time in your life. They're going to need the blood in order to make a charade of what happened to you, and they're going to shech the animal. So you see, Yosef. They don't eat Eiver Min Achai.
Did Yosef lie? Did he see them do that?
So that's a whole other discussion. Yeah. The whole discussion, the shchita, the animal was still shaking. It's a different topic of discussion. Whatever it was. It was not proper for Yosef to go and tell their father eating Eiver Min Achai. Whatever the reason was, it was not proper. And therefore, as a punishment, Mida Keneged Mida, Yosef saw with his own eyes at a very painful time in his life, they needed to take the life of an animal, and they went out of their way to do a shchita, that it should not be Eiver Min Achai, and they used that blood to go to cover up his death. So this was a punishment. This is what Rashi says. It was a mida keneged mida. Number two, what about calling? He called their brothers slaves. Rashi v'al diba shesiper aleihem shekoyren la'achayhem avodim. What was the mida keneged mida? It says beferish in the pasuk in Tehillim, le'eved nimkar Yosef. He was sold as a slave. the Midonim, the Midyonim, the Yishmaelim, he was actually for real, no Bob Maisir, he was sold as a real slave. On the books, taxes, everything. Legal, fair, and square, he was a slave like none other. A real slave.
We learned that Amos Hashem would not forgive them for.
Let's go further. Okay, let's go further. The Al Harayos, what happened there? Oh, Eishes Potiphar. She enticed him. And was he nichshel at the end? No. But he ran out. But he was accused. He was accused. It almost happened. Okay? Batisa Eishes Adoinov. Fine. Now, here's my question to you. He accused his brothers of three things that were false. Eben Achai, Arayos, and he called and he accused them of calling the children the B'nai Shvach Zavadim. Mida Keneged Mida. But the Mida Keneged Mida of these three things is very different. When it comes to Eben Achai, not only it's like lightweight almost. There was no Eben Achai, period. He was punished Mida Keneged Mida Shchita instead of eating the animal alive. Did that affect him? It was totally, the whole Mida Keneged Mida was totally incidental. Here they're selling him as a slave. They want to cover up for his death. So they take an animal and they take its blood to go dip the ksoines in the blood. What's the difference? I mean, it came about at a time of pain, but the whole Mida Keneged Mida is not very relevant. It's not very significant. It's Hashem is punishing. Look at the Mortzah. I'm being sold as a slave. I'm being sold to Mitzrayim. And now I see them do a shchita. Oh, you know, I was wrong. They really do shchita. They really don't eat Eved Menachai. All right. So far, he was punished. It was an additional degree of pain. But big deal. So he saw it. Did it have really any effect on him? They would have sold him anyway. How they would cover up? If they wouldn't find this blood, they'll find another blood. They won't tell this Baba Maisa, there'll be another Baba Maisa. No, it's not very relevant. It's not very significant what happened. It happened. Mida Keneged Mida. I'm being punished. I saw. They say, Taka, they don't even know. When did I see this? Well, they sold me. Okay. The third thing, Eishes Potiphar. That's a bit more serious. He was accused. He was accused, like he accused his brothers. He was locked up in jail. But did he really do it? He didn't really do it. So is he really innocent? He really is innocent. Did this really work out to his benefit? Yeah. Only because he was accused. The whole Maisa happened. He became the Mishnah Lamelech. V'chulu v'chulu. It's much more significant because he was accused. He did suffer. But he didn't really do the Avera. Right? He accused his brothers of doing the Avera. So he was now punished. How was he punished? He was accused of doing the Avera. But did he really do the Avera? No. But when it comes to Dibor, he said a slang, he was a racist, he says that my brothers, he lied, they're racist. They call the Bnei HaShvachai slaves. And that was not true. They didn't. So what was his punishment? His punishment was that he, mamish, became a slave. How are you talking? This is not fair. If he didn't, if when it comes to accusing the brothers of Arayos, he was not punished by being nichshel in Arayos. He didn't actually happen. He was only accused, which was for his benefit. When it came to Eved Ben Achai, it was totally irrelevant. The whole maisa of how the Mida Keneged Mida. When they sold him, they did a shchita to show that they tzaddik and they do shchita. They don't even Eved Ben Achai. But for the least significant of all three, he lied to his father and he told his father, "My brothers, they demoralized the by calling them slaves. Big deal. No one ever insulted someone in their life. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will do no harm. So what's the big deal?" So he said, Lashna, that my brothers called the Bnei HaShvacha slaves. For that he deserves a Mida, Keneged Mida, that he should be sold as a slave for all of these years, for 13 years? 13 years, he sold as a slave. This was the least severe of the other three. For the other two, there's a chiv malka. He was accusing his brothers for something for which they will be chayiv in bezdin malkos. For Arayos, he's accusing them of something that they will be chayiv nisa, potentially. And for saying Lashon Hara, not even Lashon Hara, whatever, they're saying Lashon Hara, that what they actually, they call them slaves. So you go and you insult a person, so what are you chayiv? You chayiv an asay. A bit of asay. You're not going to get malchus. It's a lav. Even if you'll show that it's a lois asay, it's a lav she'ein by maisa. Dibur, there is no maisa. So what he accused his brothers that called the Bnei HaShvachos Avodin, he would, if it was taka true, and there were witnesses that he taka called their brother slaves, the brothers would get a slap on the wrist. They would not get malchus. They would not get nisa. Nothing. They would get a musa shmuz in the yeshiva. That's not the way a Ben Torah talks. You don't go call someone a slave. It's not the way you talk. So now, mida connected mida. So when it comes to the accusation that Evan Achai, no, he saw something frightening. When he was accused of Arias, he was nechshat. But when it comes to, I accused them of doing something which if it was taka true, nothing would happen to my brothers, just to get a slap on the wrist, he gets the ultimate punishment of being sold as a slave for 13 years. How you talking? Is this fair? So what is the answer, obviously? Mr. Rapport is right. Mr. Rapport is 100% right. 100% right. Is the koyach hadibur you see is in this dimension much, much worse than the averos chamuros, the worst averos in the Torah. Arayos, eating treif, two things which the Chazal said the person benefits from. When you eat, your bodily hana. Arayos is a very great hana. The two things that a person derives physical pleasure, we go light on him. But for a word that comes out of your mouth, a hevel piv, accusing someone of saying lashon hara, that you call someone a slave. Do you know how severe that is to humiliate a person with such an expression? For that, you, Yosef, are going to be sold as a slave for 13 years. It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable revelation of how careful you have to be with what comes out of your mouth, not to cause another person pain through your words. There's nothing that has to be said. Just look at this Rashi and see the midah k'neged midah. This is shocking of what you learn, you take out, and don't judge Eloi Saseh by the misas, by the punishment of the Torah. The Torah, for whatever reason, gives certain types of punishments for certain types of averos. That's not relevant 100% to reveal to us the true severity of any particular avera.
Could be. That's why Rashi does not say Shlosh and Lokam mid the connected middle, because it's not mid the connected middle. It's
different. Each one was unique. Well, it could mean the connected middle, but we don't understand what it means mid the connected middle. We don't understand the depth of what it means mid the connected middle. Okay, let's go to another word. Exactly. It's 100. Okay, now I'm going to tell you something very controversial. I told over this word today in the wrong words, saying someone a very big Talmud Chacham in Chaim Berlin, and he blew smoke. Steam was coming out of his head. Okay? So I still respectfully, partially, he toned me down. Definitely, Baruch Hashem, I spoke to him. He definitely toned me down. He definitely showed me Rabbein Bechaye, which he claimed is saying pum faket what I'm about to tell you, which I don't think so. I don't think that's really what he's saying. But he definitely toned me down. He definitely provided a lot of insight. Now I'll tell you what I want to say, and you think about it. What I'm saying, it's a dangerous word. You have to be super duper careful not to chas shalom to say anything critical about the avos. I don't think it's critical. I think it's just a matter of fact. It's not necessary, but maybe I'm wrong. So I leave you to be the judge. Okay, I leave you to be the judge. What's the question? Here's my question. This week we learned about the horror of Mechiras Yosef. What was the sin of Mechiras Yosef? So I always understood, and it has to be, there's a double Avera. What is the double Avera of Mechiras Yosef? And I'll prove you it's a double Avera. Is they sold their brother. How dare you? You own flesh and blood. You sell your brother as a slave? Are you out of your mind? You crazy? You sell your own? Who would do that? What kind of crazy? How bad could the jealousy be? The sinus pasim and the relationships that you go and you actually throw him into a pit. Bar in by mayim in by nechashim yakrov. You want to kill him and then you go and you sell him for shoes and you take Hashem, you make a cherim. The whole thing is so still bizarre. We can't even fathom how much they hated him. We really, that's really the truth. It's not a kash of how they sold him. What's really hard for us to understand is the degree of hate. For them, it was pashat to do this. Where does it come? It comes, how did it come such hate? The other question, that other sin, which is an entirely different sin, is what about their father? Don't they realize that by selling the chosen, the precious, the ben zikunim of how much agmas nefesh they would cause their father? Now, what's my proof? This is something you cannot ignore under no condition. Esav, who hated more? Did Esav hate Yaakov more than the brothers hated Yosef? Or did the brothers hate Yosef more than the hate of Esav to Yaakov? Who hated who more?
Well, in both cases, they were ready to kill the
brothers. Vayistoim Esav liYaakov. Okay, it says over here, Vayisnu oso, Vayosifu otsino oso. It here, by Yosef, it says the word over and over, sino, to hate. Esav and Yaakov is Vayistoim. What does it mean, Vayistoim? It means to hate. Pashto says it's a much more intense degree of hatred. Vayistoim. Vayistoim, I don't have any proof for you right now, but that's my assumption. That's not the main point I want to make. The Pashto says Vayistoim is a much, much greater degree of hatred than the word sinner. So Esav's hate for Yaakov was much greater than the hate that the brothers had for Yosef. Esav wanted to kill Yaakov, and the brothers wanted to kill Yosef. Esav says, I'm going to wait until my father dies. Yikrevu yimei evel avi. Let me wait. My father's no youngster. I'm going to wait. And when he dies, I'll eliminate my brother. Very good, right. Hatred was even greater. The brothers, they hate him not as much as Esav hated Yaakov, but it's an emergency. We don't got time now. We gotta take him out today. They didn't think about it. How could you say they didn't think about it? They have a father. Who doesn't think about these things? I mean, it's mamish pilei, that's what I'm coming. Pilei piloim, wonders upon wonders. They go to their father. Hakerno, hakesoyne es bincha. What? No matter how bizarre it is, we brainwash as children. Just, you know, we learn it once, we accept it, and we forget. We don't think about it ever again the rest of our lives. It's bizarre enough they would sell their own brother, no matter how much they hated him, and they go to hakerno. They know that this is Yaakov's chosen child. They know Yaakov Avinu was a tzad. Yaakov Avinu, he worked his whole life. Lavan, he went through so many difficulties with Lavan, with his two wives. And Esav tried to kill him with the lifas, the brachos. That's how you treat a person. You don't even treat a dog like this. And you go and you treat your own father like this, who went through all these stories, even if it was not their father. What in the world is going on here? Now, I'm about to tell you something which I saw yesterday for the first time. I never thought about this. Such a thought ever crossed my mind. And it says this in a very chashva sefer, it's called, I use this all the time, very off the beaten path. And he says this, don't tell him, he doesn't say this harsh, I'm going to say it. And I'm not saying this in a harsh way. It's an observation, which definitely opens up something. And this, chas v'shalom, I don't want this to be apikorsis. It's a question. It's just a matter of reality. We live in a world that's not a perfect world, and if it's not a perfect world, it does not give you an opportunity to do what is ideal. Now, what do I mean? When was Yosef born? Yosef was Yaakov's favorite child. He made him the kesoynes pas. He taught him call on the mesorah from Shem the Aver. Why didn't Yaakov Avinu make a kesoynes pas for each one of his children? Why didn't he learn with them b'chavrusa, the mesorah? So you'll tell me, Kabbalah, it's not mushrash in their neshama, they're not the biggest iluyim. This one was better. This one's b'nei Rochel. That's from
come on. I mean, all right, you'll tell me all these answers. This is Rachel, Leah, the Shvachais, the one such Elohim. It doesn't settle with me. Yaakov Avinu, these are his children. With your children, you know what you do with your children? You take them on Sunday to soccer. Mitzvah Shabbos, they have Ovo Subonim. You take them to buy pizza. You do what everyone does. You learn with them. There's no difference between the older child and the younger child. But there's something very important to take note of, and you cannot ignore this. And again, be very, very careful. I'll tell you it 10 times. Yaakov had his 10 children before Yosef was born. What was he doing during that time? He was a slave to Lavan. And he says that you cannot ignore the pasuk in Chumash. Ki bikol koichi avadati es avichen. He takes Rachel and Leah out into the field, and he says, Yosef is born. I've been here already for 20 years, 14 years working for you, 6 years working for the children. And his words are, ki bechol koichi, every ounce, every mashu of my koyach, avadati has been dedicated these last 20 years to your father, Lavan. And later when he meets Lavan, what does he say to him? Ginuvasi yoim, uginuvasi loyla. I was frostbitten, I was burnt by the sun the whole day. And what I once heard a beautiful Jewish, what is in Gunuvasi Yom Gunuvasi Laila? So Rashi there says that if an animal got killed at night, I gave you a replacement. If an animal got killed by day, I gave you a replacement. That's Pshat. Don't ever forget Pshat. But there's a Jewish, and the Jewish is, you stole my days and you stole my nights. I'll give you a mashal. I went to rabbi school, they said, what are you going to do? They said to the class of a rabbi school, what are you going to do if you have a position, a very chosh of a shul, and the person, the chairman of the board of the shul, his daughter is getting married June 10th in the plaza. And the chairman of the board happens to be your biggest supporter. He's the one that convinced the board to renew your contract. And he's making this magnificent wedding in the plaza for his daughter on June 10th. And you have to be there, be in the Mesader Kedushin, and speak under the chuppah, and sing his praises. Just happens to be that on June 10th, your child was graduating 8th grade in the local yeshiva around the corner. And the yeshiva doesn't hold from you. You're a modern Orthodox rabbi. They wouldn't give you a second look. They don't hold from you because you're a shul of a modern Orthodox shul. They don't hold from you one bit. They didn't ask you to speak. They're not going to put you on the dais with all the other rabbanim. They're not going to even acknowledge when your child is no great sheikh. He's not the valedictorian. He's not the salutatorian. He's not getting any awards. But it's your child. It's your child, it's 8th grade graduation, the yeshiva is not such a koshavi yeshiva, lu yitzuya, and June 10th is the graduation, whatever, June 20th, whatever, end of the month, okay, June 20th, end of the month, is the graduation, same night, the conflict, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, all of you students here in this room? Are you going to go to the fans? You can't go to both, impossible, okay, the way they arrange, you cannot dance at two chasnas, no way, cannot go, so one or the other, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the plaza and the whole shul's going to be there. If you're not going to go, they're all going to be talking. You might even put your contract in jeopardy. Who knows what's going to be? So what are you going to do? So I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. I know I'm this person. You're going to go to the wedding. You're going to go to the wedding and you're going to speak into the chuppah and you're going to prepare for weeks the perfect words. It's going to be unbelievable. You're going to speak and they're going to everything be fine and good. And you're not going to go and you tell your son, my son, Lou Parnassa, Amcha Yisrael Tzichin Parnasa. What can I do? Rachman al-Islam, I have to make a Parnasa. I have to go, this is my job, it's your graduation, what could I do? That's what's going to happen. So let me tell you I have experience. Let's go fast forward. Let me tell you what's going to happen in 20 years from now. And you're going to look back. That Baal HaBos, who was the chairman of the board, who everything was so great, the next maybe 2 rounds later, when your contract was up for renewal, he voted against you. He voted to not throw you out of the shul. to not to renew your contract. Your child, the rest of his life, will remember, my father did not come to my 8th grade graduation. It just wasn't important enough. And the effect of the mind, we do not know how delicate a person's mind is, how that affects a person's mind, the development, we don't know. He's a child. Listen, he's 13 years old, the kid's a kid. Your father doesn't, everyone else's parents were there. Where are your parents? He has a big event, big rabbi, blah, blah. He didn't go to the graduation. He didn't go to the graduation. It's tragic. That's the tragedy of Rabbanus. That's what he told. He says, you're going to go to the graduation? You're not going to go. I know everyone here. You're going to go. And I'm telling you that, Balabas, I'm telling you, trust me. I've seen it all. He's going to vote against you. When your next contract is up for renewal, he's going to vote, do not renew the contract. That's what's going to happen. Tragedy of life. Yaakov Avinu had his 10 children during those 6 years. During those 20 years, he had 10 children. And then Yosef was before Yosef. Yaakov Avinu, I'm suggesting, maybe I'm wrong, this is where we appoint disagreement, he was the best father. He raised the Shiftei Kah. He raised Klal Yisrael. How could you say, Chas V'Sholem, a bit machshava about Yaakov Avinu? He is the father of Klal Yisrael. But you cannot deny the facts that we don't live in a perfect world. And in the world that we live in, you have to make a parnasa. And he has to make a parnasa. Yaakov Avinu said with his own mouth, Ki b'kol koichi avadati es avichen. What do you mean, b'kol koichi? Maybe you should leave a little bit over to go mitzvah Shabbos, avos subanim. Maybe leave a little of your koyach over to take them to a baseball game. Maybe leave over a little koyach to go to PTA, to go to the graduation. So this fellow I spoke to, he says, no, he did. He went to PTA, he went to the graduation because Yaakov Avinu is perfect. He's a perfect person. It's apikorsis to say such a thing, that he did not devote 100%. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I do know that he does say in the pasuk, "Bekol koichi avadti es avichen, ginuvasi yoim, ginuvasi laila." I'm frostbitten. I'm burnt by the sun. I'm here for 20 years. Your father has driven me mad. There's no day, no night. Now, what happens next? I quit. I'm retired. He was a multi-billionaire, Yaakov Avinu, at this point in time. The gifts he gave to Esav. I quit. I'm now in retirement. I'm joining the morning koyla. I'm in retirement. And what does he do with his day? Who was born at that moment in time? Yosef. Yosef, why was the Yosef was the Ben Zukunim and he had the Messer from Hashem the Aver and the Kasanis Pasim? Because now that he retired, he was able to devote the entire day for Chinuch Habanim, what a father normally does. Not that he did not do Chinuch Habanim Chas V'Shalom for the other children. Of course he did Chinuch Habanim. But there's only that much time during the day. And if he himself uses the words Ki V'Kol Koichi, Ki b'kol koichi avarti es avichem, we can't ignore that pasuk. Ginuvasi yoim, ginuvasi laila, the drush. You stole my days, you stole my nights. I could have used that time for more important things. And you love on you Russia, look what you did to me. I'm frostbitten, I'm burnt by the sun. It's just not possible. You can't have everything in this world. This world is not a perfect world. He was unable to devote the same of, he was mechanech his children, but the degree of chinuch that he was able to devote to Yosef was significantly more than the degree of chinuch that he had the time, not at any fault to him, chas v'shalom, to his other son. And you want to go make him into a malach alakim tzivakos? That's a very difficult approach. He was a malach alakim tzivakos, and times, l'maylam and hazman, and he gave the same time to the other 10 children like he gave to Yosef, even though he was working full time. Okay, you want to say that? Say it. I'm not going to argue with you because I don't know. But the Torah was given to simple people like me also. And some people like me also, if you're working full time 24/7 and you make a statement, that means that you did not give the same time, same tender loving care to your 10 children that you went during those 20 years that you're working nonstop, like you gave to Yosef when you were in your retirement. Kiben Zakunim. And you taught him Zakunim is Rosh Teva, Zeroyim, Moye, Noshim, Kachim. You taught him Kolatar Akula, the Shem Vaver. So therefore, there's a lot going on over here. It opens up, if this Yisoid is correct, it opens up a whole new world. First of all, what were they really jealous of? They weren't jealous of Yosef. They were jealous of the attention of time that Yaakov Avinu spent with Yosef. Yosef was just...
He was just the vehicle
of where they... He wasn't of the person. It's not your fault, Yosef. It's maybe you also. It's just you were the object in how it came out, the resentment, if we can say such a thing, that we didn't get attention. You didn't come to our 8th grade graduation.
Why was it such an intense hatred for Yosef?
Because he was the... I got to direct it somewhere. You got to point the finger somewhere.
Not at Yaakov?
Well, they did. Wow. That's exactly the point. They did point it at Yaakov. It takes away, it shows, it opens up an understanding. Again, this is controversial, I'm saying. The question is so great. You go to your father and you say to him, Hakerno. Who would do that? What person would do that today? This obviously, there's a resentment. And look, it has all the signs. It says over here, why were they lording over the Bnei HaShvachas? They were calling them, obviously they weren't treating them very well. This is a sign of a child that's not getting attention. Every time you have these discipline problems in school, what does it all come to? Attention. The child, it's this Aleph Beis and Chinuch Habanim and problems in school. Why did children say they're not getting attention? Where they're not getting attention? Usually at home. They're not getting their problems at home. Not anyone's fault. Not anyone's fault. People are sick. People have prognostic problems. They don't get it. And when there's no attention, they become a bully. They're bullying the Bnei HaShvachos. They went out lirois fishchem, lirois es atzmai. They went out to the restaurant to have a good lunch. They went out to Shechem to pasture the rabbis. They didn't go to pasture the sheep. They went out to have a good time. They went out lirois es atzmam, to feed themselves. What do you have to go feed yourselves? Go home, have dinner at home with your parents. Teretz is, we resent our parents. We're not happy in the house because we didn't give the attention that we. These are all the telltale signs of children that have not gotten attention when they were children, and now when they're adults, there's a resentment. And again, these are micro. If this is even true, am I saying it's totally false? And if it is true, this is on a microscopic level. You have some Zin Chazal, the Chazal are coming to the super duper magnified teeny little things in order that we can learn from these things. It gives a whole new understanding. That's Rashi says, but there's something more. You know why Vayikumu Lisnachamo? Because they didn't really try to be Menachem. That's not called a Nechama. They said, Hamokam Yinachem. You didn't say with feeling. Because the children had a resentment. And can you say such a thing? It's not they had a resentment. I shouldn't say. They were not capable. There was a limit. There was a distance in the relationship. But no, that's what Rashi said. That's pshuta. This is drush. Avada, avada, ms. The ikar is pshuta shel mikra. Rashi's Chazal. This is the ikar yisoid. But you cannot deny the fact that there are rishonim, achronim, and bali musar that open up other insights into possibilities and project. The reason why it says vayimon lesnachim because the ein mikalvim tanchum and alachai. Yosef was a mystical concept. It's a mystical concept. Correct? I'm just not. This is the ikar. I'm not trying to be Nabi Kervis, Chas HaShalom. This is the Yikr. But there are Ayin Panam Torah. I'm not doing anything. You've seen in the hundreds of thousands of Svarim, the other insights. What's going on? If there is a distance in the relationship between the father and son because they saw what the attention that Yosef got only because Yaakov just had the time. He was retired. So now when it comes to Yaakov, to their father, it's not a sincere nechama. If they would have really been sincere in the Nechama, maybe Taka, it would have been different. They didn't really care, because if they really cared, they wouldn't have done it to begin with. Why did they didn't care? He was distant. There was a distance in their relationship from the very beginning between Yaakov and his children. He not at a fault to him. Ki b'kol koichi. This was the deal. Ki b'kol koichi. Genuvasi laila. I didn't have the ability to do what I did for Yosef. It's an idea. Obviously very controversial. There are definitely telltale signs that there is something going on over here. Is this completely false? Possibly. I accept.
What does
Rabbeinu Bechaya say? Rabbeinu Bechaya goes on the pasuk. You look at Rabbeinu Bechaya, the first pasuk in Shemois. The Eile Shemois B'nei Yisrael. So he darshins B'nei Aboy Mitzrayma. So he connects, what's the B'nei Yisrael? So the Rabbeinu Bechaya writes that Yaakov Avinu was the perfect father. The perfect father in every sense of the word. They were all the B'nei Yisrael. They were the Shleimim. There was absolutely no defect in the chinuch habonos of Yaakov Avinu to his children. He was miyaser them. Rabbeinu Bechaya is a rishon. I'm not even a speck. I'm just making a ha'orah. And my ha'orah is based on the pasuk. Kol koichi yavar v'yasavichem. Is the Rabbeinu Bechaya, is it a stira? Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's, he's just focusing on a different element, of the chinuch habonim. I'm kafuf to das Torah. Don't get me wrong over here, but it's a ha'ara, and it's not only my ha'ara. I told you this is a very chashuv called the tahar libeinu, which is gold. Mamashu, you know, and he makes this point. He makes this point that the amount of he was working for Lavan during the 20 years, and he cannot give the full amount of attention to those children. And I'm adding. It's more than that. There's a resentment.
It's not necessarily true. Sometimes they just have that point of view. Sometimes children see things that are not true.
See, that's what I'm saying is different. It's one thing the father is. It's one thing the father goes to the graduation of all of his 12 children. Every you do the same. But the one of the sons, you see, he talks nicer to. He gives you the same time. But one of them he's nicer to, he gives more presents to. So that's jealousy. Here, it's more fundamental. You didn't come to my graduation. You didn't give me the time. You did not give me the time. There's a rule in chinuch. There's no such thing as quality time without quantity of time. I'm busy. I'll give my child an hour, and we're going to do something very special.
Some children need more time than others, though.
That's right.
So
that's right. That's what I'm saying
is
happening over here. There was not time, period, for anyone. There's no such thing as quality without quantity of time. There was no quantity of time. He wasn't home. Does that create a new dynamic in understanding the entire story? I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.
شمه دکو چه بری خوب